Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You're listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadijah Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride.
Yeah. All right, group ride, Wednesday night ride team. I was telling you off mark. So I got through my 100-mile pacing, and I was so inspired, I signed up for 100K. And also 50K.
Which one?
Oh, you signed up for both.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely low blood sugar. Yeah.
I don't understand. Well, I found out because you're out there for like 6 hours talking. You know what I mean? And so she told me about this new race. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then when I got home, I realized the new race starts 400 meters from my front door.
Yeah. You got to do it.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
Your own bathroom. Like, and I feel like there's also like a good mix. Like, I don't know, maybe you guys, you know, like you need like the really, really big UTMB Ironman, but you also need the like $30 in your backyard. Like you need the mix, right?
Yeah, I do like the mix.
Yeah.
Definitely. I have a backyard half marathon that like goes by my house four times. So I do that, but that's 13.1 miles.
True.
Did she finish?
Goes to your backyard? Wait, what?
Well,
it goes down through
the neighborhood.
It doesn't like cut through her kitchen. Yeah.
It doesn't actually go through my backyard. It's a euphemism.
I have to say, my friend is her first 100 miler, and we got in like 23 something, so under 24 hours. She's very exciting. Apparently, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Because, like, at the last aid station, all of a sudden, you know, you're like 4 miles away and we were like clearly in the 23-hour. And so all of a sudden there are like all these people, you know what I mean? Who are like going for that marker. So you went from like being out in the dark by yourself to like suddenly like everyone's trying to get under 24 hours, right?
Wow. You would think that all those folks would be kind of near each other.
Yeah. It was like suddenly they converged, right? Like at the last aid station.
Huh. Right?
Cause otherwise you're just out there by yourself in the dark.
Did you do that last segment with her?
I did. I did the last 23 miles, which is a lot of miles. And it's going to sound super mean, guys. But like, if you are on mile 78 of running and not mile whatever I was on, 6 at that point, like you're a lot more tired, right? So in order to like do the like shuffling, the like 100 mile shuffle, I had to like change I had to adopt a shuffle to like get through, but then that like really starts to hurt your legs if you're not like, and then I kept tripping because I wasn't like picking my feet up because I was doing the 100 mile shuffle, so I kept like fall, so I like rolled my ankle. I'm like, oh man.
Can you imagine mile 8 into helping out your friend and she's like 80 something miles into it, like Kelly?
Right. And I'm like, oh,
you're
God,
useless to me.
And there's always this whole section that was very annoying. And I was like, oh, this is so annoying. I just want to be done with this.
But you're still friends and you were inspired.
Exactly. See, there you go.
It's, I feel like you get a lot of credit for getting her to the finish line and under 24 hours. It's mostly because
all
of you.
All the credit. Mostly. Yeah. Definitely. Did she have other people to run with along the way? Yeah. So my husband did the 10 miles before me and then handed it off to me because he said he didn't want to run longer than 2 hours. So he had like a cap. And then she picked up like a stranger, like in the segment before that, that she had never met before, who was just like out there, like an ultra groupie. You know what I mean? Like out there for the vibes.
So you're out there, just out there in the dark. Yeah. Okay. With somebody you don't know. And he admits he's a groupie.
Yeah. I thought like, I mean, this is like a local small, I mean, it's a medium small race. You know what I mean? Like a couple hundred people. And I showed up to this like aid station, like at the far end. And I was like, there must be something huge going on. Cause there was like people with tents and like coolers. And yeah, so apparently ultras have like groupies basically.
Yeah. Did you see the crew people that would take off their person's socks and massage their feet? Cause that's weird.
I mean, only if you're like winning, right? Then that's okay. All right,
so
we're gonna talk.
People can't get massages.
No, slow people cannot get massages. You can massage yourself.
Alrighty then.
Like, no, the fast people have no time to stop for foot massages. No time.
That's true. I did see like a video. Another friend of mine did like that whole. There was like the 6 hour, 12 hour, and 24 hour cycling championships in Arizona this weekend.
And
and so a friend of mine did one of those, and her crew, like her transition crew, had it like down, like they were like NASCAR style, like in and out, you know, water bottles. We were not like that. We were like, I think something might have been left in the car. Does someone want to go get it? So, all right, we'll talk more trail running after a break. We will talk course records in Florida, and of course, Jocelyn's going to explain her controversy of the week to us.
Chasing epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, with a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orca's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. I absolutely love my Orca wetsuit. Apex is number one, but there's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
So Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging, and you've been using Aminocos Heal as part of your like post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah, it seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored Heal to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the Aminoco Heal chocolate. How do you like it? How does it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all Aminoco products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code WRITING, as in if we were writing, at aminoco.com/writing. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's aminoco, aminoco.com/writing, and use the code WRITING at checkout for 30% off and a free gift.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
So New York Marathon was this past weekend. Very exciting. I don't know if you guys like watched it all. The final mile, it was like they were like going back and forth with each other.
It was very slow and boring, like the first 20 miles, right?
I honestly didn't watch it, which is kind of the theme of this podcast, is you talk about races. I did watch the clip that went viral of the 5K the day before. Yes. And how the lead man almost got hit by a bus at an intersection.
Where do you think the screw up was in that a bus like drove that far into the course?
Didn't you see that there were police officers there and the bus just kept on going?
So weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So can you imagine if that happened during the marathon?
Yeah, it would have been bad.
That could have been super bad. Yeah. Yeah.
Not because we care about marathoners more, because there are a lot more of them.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Yeah. Volume.
Volume.
Yeah. That is the only piece of the marathon that I saw. And that wasn't even the marathon. That was the 5K. So my apologies for knowing absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
I know that Molly Huddle and Kellen Taylor, first marathon back after having kids, and I think they were eighth and ninth respectively.
They were, yep.
And that's really all I know. I'm sorry.
You
know, not helpful in this conversation. That's really
good. Here's a fun stat for you though, right? So like women were like 44%, but in the 20 to 29 age group, there were literally more women than men.
Why do you think that is?
Oh, interesting.
I think it's a number. I think it's partially like age demographic, right? Like it's partially like the younger generations of women like do sports at higher rates than the older generations. Like that is true. And I think it's also partially like, think about 25-year-old women versus 25-year-old men. They have their shit like way more together. And that's like cultural and societal, but they do. You know I'm right.
Yes.
You're right.
Yeah.
So maybe
they registered on time.
They registered on time. They figured it out, you know, they like the whole lottery system. They like read the directions. Yeah. But what I was going to say was Molly Huddle and Kellen Taylor were like the only Americans, because a lot of Americans skipped it because the Olympic marathon trials are in February. And so they didn't want to like jeopardize it, which brings us to Jocelyn's controversy that she wants to explain.
Yes. Controversy.
As the disc turns.
As the disc turns. There's been a huge controversy because the Olympic trials are it's Orlando.
Yes.
It's Orlando in February. And so it's at noon. Mm-hmm. And some people say it's like February in Orlando is actually really nice. But most people say any time of year at noon in Florida is hot and horrible and super humid.
Yes. So the controversy is about the start time. The athletes are like, why would you make this at noon? This is terrible.
Mm-hmm. And now it's a whole blame game. So a whole bunch of the athletes wrote a letter or a petition to get the start line moved earlier. And then I guess USA Track and Field said, oh, we're totally willing to do it. And NBC is totally willing to do it. But it's the local organizing committee that won't let us move the time. And then the local organizing committee is like, oh no, here's a letter saying that we're willing to do it, but it's USATF that says they don't want to do it.
So what's USATF's argument? That they want it to be hot because Paris?
Yeah,
it's a
TV viewing. Like,
that's what I would assume.
It's a live viewing argument. So the local organizer then is saying that live on TV like, so noon East Coast would be 9 a.m. Pacific, right? And that's like a normal, like a viewing time on the weekends for sports. And so the local organizing committee is saying that, like, that was a requirement. Like, USATF, they would not let them do it earlier. That, like, that was a requirement of hosting, was to have live coverage. And so they made, like, this whole plan. They, like, got local sponsors. They, like, tried to sell VIP experiences. And now, because of all this controversy, they, like, basically have, like, lost all those sponsors. Like, no one will sign, like, sponsor deals with them, or, like, yeah, like, they can't, like, sign all this. So that's why they're claiming they've lost money, because it's been like, well, we don't know what's happening. It might start. It might not. We don't know if it's going to be live on TV or not. Like, so it's kind of a mess.
That is a mess, because a lot of the times they have USATF has a hard time finding hosts for this event.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Marathons make money off of mass participation. And if you close the roads for just a handful of folks.
Yeah. It's not good. No.
Oh, that
and
is
running a marathon on a track is not going to work out.
That'd be amazing. They do the Olympic marathon trials on the track.
It'd be so confusing.
So I have to admit, I was looking at Khadija when you were mentioning all this, and Khadija from Georgia likes the heat.
Yes, I do like the heat.
How much sympathy do you have for these runners running in February at noon?
I wouldn't have a
be honest.
No, I think it would be perfect, but I know a lot of athletes, and plus, my little 8-9 minute miles are not 5-6 minute miles. So, I mean, I know they're putting out a lot more energy.
But they get done faster. They get done faster.
I don't think
faster.
That's not how overheating works. Jocelyn.
Yeah. I mean, I prefer the heat. I mean, is anything like 90 below, I'm good to go. I mean, I don't start getting uncomfortable till above 90, and I'm not suffering until it's like 90. When it was like a heat wave out here, I was still running outside. I do much better in the heat.
So I do agree with you in part, because part of me says, like, come on, I've done like plenty of marathons on the bike when it's 80 degrees.
That's right.
It's not going to be more than 80.
Yeah.
But I also recognize, like you said, they're running a lot faster.
A lot harder, yeah.
Faster and harder.
Do you remember when it was in LA in 2016?
Uh-huh.
And it was super hot, and like people were just like collapsing all over them. And it does affect the results too.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, and not necessarily in a way, like if Paris isn't gonna be hot, then it's not necessarily like the people who do well are the ones who will do well, you know?
Yeah, Shalane almost didn't finish.
Right, exactly. So that was not great for her.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not usually that humid that time of year.
It's February. Though. Yeah. I don't know.
It is much drier. It is much drier.
Hmm.
I feel like they're complaining too much, but that's my unpopular opinion is just like, that's the time, train for it. And
true. They did. If they knew and it was set for a while here, then you could just train for it. Obviously, at this point, it's like, what the fuck are they training for? Nobody even knows.
They don't
know. That's like a mess. Yeah.
But I feel like, why not have it in more adverse conditions? Let's see who's the toughest.
Because that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to do well. Like, I would agree with that if the Paris, if the Olympic marathon is going to be in those conditions, like, absolutely, we should mimic them. Who's going to do well then, right? But if it's not, then, like, you're, what's the word? You're selecting for a thing that is not a relevant thing, right? Like,
but it's sports. You got to show up. If it's whatever the condition is, you got to show up. That's
part. It's of mental.
You can't
it's
predict whoever what is every time you go out to a triathlon what the weather's gonna be. Show up and show out. That's it.
Because
the weather is gonna be what's gonna be.
Paris, I don't know what the weather in Paris is like, but isn't it still in August?
Yeah, but like, I mean, like, right, like we're selecting for who can figure out how to do the lottery, right? Like we're selecting for like other things that are not the thing anyway. I mean, I agree with you guys. I was at New York last year when it was a heat wave for the marathon. I like all week, I was like, these runners, like they won't stop whining. Like, what the fuck? Like, it's
good. Yeah.
Right. Like, I've run marathons in 85 and an end of an hour. And then I was standing in the corral at the start at like pouring sweat. And I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. And then, like, 11 miles. Later, then I'm like stumbling through Brooklyn, like taking ice off strangers. So, yeah, like, it does, like, marathoning.
Apparently, it could be hot, and there's climate change. So there's more and more severe weather on race day, and it could be super hot and humid. We don't know.
We kind of know.
I, in the defense of the athletes, I feel like if you have a critical mass of the athletes all banding together and say, we don't like this decision, at some point, like they feel as though they don't have a voice. And I think that's part of the problem. If it was just a few athletes being like, wah, 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 okay, you ignore them. But if the majority of the top contenders for the Olympic team are saying, you know what, this isn't going to necessarily select the best team for the games, you got to trust the athletes at some point.
For sure. And now you'll appreciate it.
So I'm like, wah, wah, wah.
Now the local organizers are like, fine, we'll do it at 8 a.m. And so you have to like, fuck you, USATF. So anyway, it's really funny. It's funny only because we are not racing for the Olympic team.
Wait, so did they officially change it to 8
a.m.? No, they're still arguing. Maybe by the time this podcast comes out on Friday, they will have figured it out.
I don't know. It's in February. As long as the athletes know for sure at some point in December, that's good.
You only need like 6 to 8 weeks of heat acclimation, right? Right. So like, that's fine.
Yeah. I feel like they're stressing themselves out too much.
Okay.
Just gotta go with it. Yeah.
The other triathlon thing this weekend, NCAA triathlon, the Women's Triathlon Championship, because that's what they're calling it officially, is this weekend. But I think colloquially we're all calling it the NCAA Championships. Because women's tri, I mean, it's on its way to becoming an NCAA sport, which I feel like we've been saying forever.
Yeah, forever. Like, haven't we had 40 schools for a while now?
No, I mean, really, it's only been like 10 years. But we've had 40 schools for like a year now. So we have 40 schools that have sent on the varsity team, but then not all of them are like meeting the number of athletes. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not all fielding full teams yet. So we have
what's considered a full team? Like 8?
Well, a 3 is like a minimum for scoring. And then like 6, it works like cross country scoring. You know what I'm saying? Where like you need like 3 score, you can field 5. Full teams will be like 8 or 9, but then 5 or 6, okay, race, something like that. So,
okay.
Anyway, but if it had been a sport when you were in college and you were good enough to race, would you have done triathlon?
No, I did not have that kind of time on my hands. I was on an academic scholarship. I had to get a 3.5 every semester.
Oh yeah, my roommate was on one of those, and man, he would get stressed. Yeah.
I discovered triathlon in college, and it was a club sport. But I was first running Division III track, got injured, and then bought a bike and was on the cycling team. So I hadn't actually ridden or raced a bike until I was a freshman in college. And I couldn't swim. So I don't know if I would have, like...
You probably would not have made the NCAA team. No, they're not looking for you. No, they're looking for, like, the 16-year-old superstar. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't swim, like, formally at all until I was, like, wanted to do triathlon. So I learned, like, when I was 18.
Oh. I ran track. It was the... practices were short, and I used to swim a lot because I did it once for therapy because I was injured, and then I realized two of the guys on the swim team were really cute, so I made sure that I always had some type of injury that required water therapy.
Smart. That's smart.
Whatever motivates you.
Okay. Right.
But I didn't have a bike, so.
Sarah, did you do a college sport?
I swam, and I'm trying to, during the summers, I would do a couple of triathlons, like a pretty low-key level. I don't know. So I went to school in Vermont, and I'm trying to imagine, like, training for a triathlon in Vermont, like, throughout the winter.
Well, so they're national, that's why their national championships are, like, now. So they only really train through now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But then again, it's, you know, you're basically training. I don't know. 40 teams, not even 40 teams. I would love to say I'm an early adopter to things. But I kind of
you don't
like
seem like an early adopter. I gotta say, I would not like, be like Sarah True, early adopter, tech innovator.
I need to be shown the proof is in the pudding.
Okay.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I am psyched for the future of NCAA triathlon, but we're not there yet.
No. But then I was talking to this coach yesterday, and in all fairness, like one of the D1 coaches, and she was like, well, can you even think back to like the starting years of a like similar NCAA sport, right? Like, I mean, even if you look back in the history of like football, right, the early games were like super, super scrappy. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
I'm just thinking so much.
That was
of...
like 1910, wasn't it? No, everything I mean, was scrappy then.
No, it's so scrappy. No, like college. The NCAA is actually not that old, is all I'm saying.
But yeah. at least you got to compete against other teams.
Right.
So the problem is there's so few schools that you don't really get to have, you don't get, it's not like cross country where you have dual meets or, you know, invitationals in your region for a lot of the regions. So yeah, you might have a lack of local triathlon and you send your kids to it, but until it's like a robust.
Right, until they have more. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, races is a super big problem for them for sure.
Yeah. So yeah. Once you get to the point of NCAA or the national championship, then you get, a decent race, but outside of that, it's almost.
And I don't think scoring it like cross country is going to bring the noise. You have to bring something that's exciting.
That's for the team. Obviously, like individuals win and stuff. I'm just saying for the team, that's how they score it. Yeah, I mean, I keep waiting. Like, so I went to Cal. We have like the biggest club team in the country, you know. So I did club, and that's how I learned how to. Like, I didn't like Johnson. Like, I didn't know how to ride a bike before that.
Yeah.
So I'm like super, super partial to club because it's all encompassing, right? Like you can pick it up and like they would not have taken, like I could not have done it. Like I was going to run, but I had mono and I like all my freshman year. And so I ended up walking on to like doing club triathlon, but you could not, you see what I'm saying? Like they would not have taken me if it was NCAA triathlon.
Right.
Then like you don't know how to bike. So
really though, I feel like they're more likely to take you if you have like a strong swim and run background, and then they're like, oh yeah, anyone can learn to ride a bike. Where I feel like I was a really strong cyclist, like I raced on the college cycling team, but I don't know that they would have picked me because I was a very weak swimmer, even though I could bike
and it's draft legal, well. So swimming's more important, or they're doing draft legal for
But speaking to your point, Kelly, because this is a sport that people pick up later in life,
mm-hmm.
you're already selecting from such a small pool in the U.S. and internationally, so you have a very small pool of athletes that you can recruit. So it's how many people get started in triathlon in their 20s, 30s, 40s, like
So I
get started when they're a teenager and they're like, yes, I'm gonna go to college and focus on triathlon.
Now of course that's a chicken egg problem, right? Like this is where like Title IX created opportunities,
which is why I'm not an early adopter.
You're not an early adopter. Okay. So I basically though I'm like super partial to club, and I was like very worried NCAA was gonna like kill off club. Now I'm kind of more of like, there's room for everyone. Like club is still like good for that. But then like you, NCAA creates opportunities that then if you work backwards, creates a pipeline, creates juniors, creates more and more. Cause you like need the, I'm like, yeah, we just like look at Title IX and that created kind of a pipeline of youth programs for women, girls.
And I do notice more and more like the local smaller triathlons now have like actually halved their registration fees for juniors, yeah. For if you're 18 and under, it's like 50% off, which is amazing because I hadn't seen that before.
So the last I don't know, but years. I'm not like sold, Sarah, that it's gonna like make Olympians yet. I don't know. We'll see if that works.
Yeah, I think it would make a big difference if schools like, you know, Colorado.
Right. I think we're waiting for Colorado, Cal, Stanford, UCLA, like the big ones to come on now. Yeah, for sure.
If they came on, that would be a game changer.
Mm-hmm. But right. They were waiting for it to be
so
official.
So what's the season though? Because I know some of those schools that are swim powerhouses, swim or track powerhouses, those coaches are not letting those athletes go.
No, no, these athletes would be triathletes. They wouldn't be like runners doing something else. It's a fall season. But Sarah, I think they were all waiting for it to become official so it would count to Title IX spots because they don't care until it officially counts.
Right.
They were waiting. They're not early adopters either. They want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big schools. I'm friends with the Delaware State triathlon coach here. And I know like their team, it's small, but I know they also like run with the cross country meets with the cross country team.
Some of the smaller ones definitely do, but like Cal, no, Khadija, Cal would not let their swimmers do triathlon. That coach would not let that happen. So, all right, we're gonna take an ad break and when we come back, we have a Sid Talks and we'll talk course records. All right, Sid, we don't have that many races left in the year, but we did have a big one this past weekend. Florida was really fast.
It was fast. Like I was like on the men and the women's side, but particularly the women's side. So I don't know, like looking at some of the rankings of times or the predicted times before the race. And I think looking at then the results, like 18 of the top 20 women all went faster by a significant amount than their predictions. Like we're talking like
20 minutes,
15 to 20, 25 minutes faster. So, and also like just these days, if you're as a female, if you're not running around, like there's more, I think like Florida. And then there was, what was it? Whatever the race was a couple of weeks ago. If you're not running around 3 hours for the marathon, like don't stand a chance. So part shoes, I'm sure, but part the standard women, but yes, Sky Monch, there's quite a few that backed up for, well, on the women's, quite a few that backed up from Kona. So Sky had a great day. I just think maybe, and going to be controversial here, Sky is such an incredible athlete, but she races a lot. So this result in Florida is reflective of how good she is. And it's one of those conundrums that I wonder if she raced less.
Oh, interesting.
Would her performance, like she still got another top 10 in Kona. People, it's still amazing.
Right. She was eighth in Kona. And then she set a course record here in Ironman Florida, like what, 3 weeks later now?
But I wonder if like she... And I don't think this is her because I think she's an athlete that just loves to race. And I applaud that and I respect that. But I often wonder if that question is, if I don't race as much during the year and put those eggs in that Kona, that world champs basket, will she get that top five? Will she get that podium?
There's some people who are like that, right? Like Rinny was always like that, right? She would show up, like be ready for the one a year. And there's some people who are not like that, right? Like even if they put everything in one basket, they don't do like better.
No, that's it. And that's why I love like that. She just races a lot. Anyway, she had a great performance. Won India Lee second, which was awesome. She'd been obviously in Kona training partner, but it was her second full. She did Israel, so it wasn't,
And she said kind of on her first one, she just sort of like held herself back. And I did not think that happened this time.
No,
they
that's
were going
right.
like neck and neck on the run.
Yeah, that's it. And I mean, she ran a 3:03. Jocelyn and a bunch of other athletes who
Jocelyn backed up, Lauren backed it up. Yeah, it's interesting because obviously
Rachel Zelinkas, Jenna Nets, a whole bunch of them.
It's just like weird balance right now where you're like, some people come out of like their big A whatever championship race and they are toasted, right? They're done.
Yeah.
Some are really disappointed and then they want to like go and get like one good result to end the year. And then some are like they did fine, but they want to just like roll it out so then they can like crash hard for the off season and not have to worry about like qualification, right? Like, cause now qualification's all locked up. So it's such a, like a weird, it's such a mix.
And then like, free, if you can back up and do another one post Kona, it frees your calendar or your schedule up for the following year to pick and choose a few more races that you want. But for a lot of people that not just the physical exhaustion, but the mental exhaustion of going into a big race like Worlds, like sometimes they, I mean, obviously I backed it up a week later with Segrail. So, you know, there what is, are people worried?
Yeah. I couldn't
that's
do it.
I
definitely couldn't.
The thing, I tend to have a big race and then plan lots of other stuff rather than going, actually, if you focus and put your head down, you could probably do another one. But yeah. And then the men's, obviously we need
Rudy,
to cover the men.
Rudy was also a course record. That's where it's like everyone was fast. It's interesting. Yeah. Obviously, they had more time since Nice, so it's a little less. Like,
they did, so it is a little bit different, and you forget that. But again, quite a few people, quite a few big names in there. But the men's times, like on the predicted versus what they did, they weren't as fast as, or not as many went faster than predicted as the women did. Matthew Marquette is appearing to, first year pro, balance it with, as a professor and I think professor, I forgot.
I don't know. I mean, he's like a
he's an academic. He's studying medicine. Sorry, I've just uplifted him to a professor. He's not there yet. I don't think he's a medic studying med school, which still and just seems to be having a fantastic and is probably one of the names to watch.
Yes, definitely.
Going forward.
I mean, I think he's only done like 4 races this year and he's been like, and one of them was Nice. Yeah.
And yeah, so, exactly. Like, what was it? Texas, the first one, and he was like on the podium. And I think he's like, yeah, had a third, second, and a third, and then Nice.
Not a bad first year.
I'm going to do a shout out to Matt Hansen because he did run a ridiculously fast 2:34, but unfortunately was ran out of real estate from and just missed one of those, the podium and the Kona slot.
Yeah. The other big race this weekend was, of course, the Noosa Tri, which like, honestly, like I mean, it sounds really cool and I really want to do it. And I always like watch everyone on the Instagram, but I primarily only care that Ashley Gentle got her 10th win because that is insane.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking about that. I mean, it is, everyone says, oh, it's a course built for Ashley, but you know, she used to be an ITU athlete. Now she's doing longer and Noosa is an Olympic non-draft. I think almost though, it's like that, you know, people have built it up like it's Ashley's course, it's built for her. And I wonder if that's sort of written into the rules before athletes start. Although I have to say, I did watch the coverage and there was a bigger pack of women coming off the bike together than there has been for a long, long time. But obviously for Ash, that's, you know, she's still going to be the fastest runner realistically. I think there were some younger, again, sort of up and coming ITU girls that were in the mix. And then again, you had a couple of athletes off the back of Kona. And I think it's different trying to then up your coming off the back of Kona. This is going to sound ridiculous. Coming off the back of Kona and doing another Ironman.
It's less hard. Yeah, I know.
It's kind of the Olympic distance at that intensity, trying to find that extra power and speed when you've been training for the sort of endurance. Well. Yeah. And then Hayden Wild won on the men's side.
That makes sense. Noosa is also fascinating because they've managed to make a whole festival where like every day for the whole week is like there's a 5K and there's a crit and there's a swim run and there's a, but it's like, obviously a lot of events say they're going to do that. And then I've been to a lot of those and it's like, it's usually like, it's fine. You're kind of you're like, why are we paddling? Right. Like there's always like weird.
Yeah. No, but it is amazing. I mean, I did notice this year, like the women's crit, I didn't see the men's, but the women's crit, it was a smaller field than it has been in the past. That might just have been this year, but yeah. And not only just they have, so they have an Asics 5K Bolt for the professionals. They have a crit race for the professional cyclists. They have a Legends Triathlon, which is where you just get all the iconic Aussie legends from across sport, swim, bike, run, motorsport, everything, and mixed up in relays. So, an ex-Aussie swimmer won't be able to do the swim in the Legends relay kind of thing. They have to do the bike or the run. So that's always good fun. But they're not, and obviously then they have the triathlon. But then not just that, for the age group, like all week, there's like a fun run, there's an open water swim, there's, I think, probably golf events. There's just so much going on for that whole, it's a real big festival. They've done an amazing, amazing job. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. If you're curious, I was reading about like a Super League rebranding the New York, Chicago, Malibu as like the majors and like wanting to, I was like, there's some notes to be taken here on like how to make this work. So,
yeah. Yeah, because they've just hired, I think, a new head of US, haven't they? So definitely they're looking to make a big push into the US.
And it'd be nice if the US got some, I mean, not that we don't have big Olympic distance races, but if they grew back again, because they were kind of dying for a little while.
It'd be nice if they had some professional iron distance races also as well going into next year, but that's another, let's talk about that later.
There are no pro, there are like no Ironman in the year.
Yeah. Anyway.
In North America. The other big thing I feel like we need to talk about that we haven't really, so Heather Jackson, obviously, I mean, I remember last year at Kona seeing her in the bathroom post-race and she was like, I'm done, Kelly. Like, this is it.
I was done. We were on the start line in Kona last year and I remember sort of turning to her and I had a feeling I was just like, enjoy, like, last one Heather kind of thing. I think I said that to her as we're about to get in the water, and she's now, I mean, she's still juggling two sports
with, so she's like
trail running and gravel riding. It's not racing, not completely taking the foot off and she's doing like the ultra, so she finally won. She's been
only doing it for a year.
Knocking on the door and only doing it for a year, ultra running, and again mixing it with the gravel racing. And one you can
Javelina 100, yeah, which is a big one in the US. It's one of the big golden ticket races. So she got her ticket to Western States, which is obviously like the hot thing here. And then Javelina is also one of the big ones that has a pretty good like course history. And she ran the second fastest time in history. Courtney Dalwalter. Dalwalter. Thank you. Is the one who's run faster.
Okay. I wondered who, because I heard she, which is all equal, not just winning it, like getting the second fastest time is amazing. And I wondered who had that fastest time. So yeah.
So yeah, it does Courtney's like that. Yeah, Courtney ran it with her mom, apparently, Javelina. Well, yeah, she ran.
So explain to me, we had this off. What's a Javelina?
A Javelina is a wild pig that you can supposedly see out there in the deserts of Arizona. And I mean, I've done plenty of training camps in Arizona, so I've seen a Javelina once, but I was at Javelina 100, which is always on Halloween weekend, so everybody dresses up in costume, and it's done in the style of, like, there's a big hub that you come through every lap, and so the hub is, like, a party, like, where people are just kind of up all night and whatever, because, like, all the crew, because you don't have to move, so they just are there, and you just loop through, and so I was there working one year, and I swear, I saw a domestic cow, just like a regular cow, out in the middle of the desert. And everyone says I hallucinated it, but I don't think I did.
Okay, well, we got, this is not hallucinations. This is very tenuous link to animals. We were riding the other day and the question came up, what's the difference between a llama and an alpaca? And I thought it was a joke, but it wasn't. It was a genuine question. What is the difference between a llama and an alpaca?
Number of humps.
No, that's camels.
Oh, camels.
Although there's, and then I was like, anyway, but yes.
I thought they were like entirely different animals. Anyway, separate.
No, they're very similar, just one's bigger than the other.
Okay.
So a llama's bigger than an alpaca. Obviously, really interesting information that everyone needs to know. Anyway, Heather Jackson, back to the Javelina.
One Javelina. And yes. So now,
Western States again.
She's going to do Western States again. She DNS this past year. Lots of people DNF Western States. And yeah, it seems like the trail running career is not going bad, you know?
Yeah, and also though, she did the week before, I think, Javelina, she did a gravel race and she managed to get, she said she tried, she the way she explained it, I thought was quite funny. She said she got in the front pack of the gravel race, finally made the front pack, and she tried to explain, she's like, it's the equivalent of swimming on Lucy Charles' feet. And I was like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, that's okay, like, yeah, you know, yeah. I get that now. That's a pretty awesome.
The gravel races have gotten pretty like pro at this point too. So there you go. You can dream big, Sid, whenever you're not ready to retire.
I rode my gravel bike today and I ran the trails yesterday.
Okay, you're ready.
Loving, you ready.
All right, we'll hear back from Sid in a few weeks. We're gonna take a little break for a couple weeks here as there are no more races. No more races rest of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we'll talk in a little while.
Yeah. Thanks, Kelly.
Okay. Ironman Florida was like stupidly fast this weekend. And I want to know if anyone knows why. Like, I know it's always fast, but was there like did everyone cut the course? Is there like something that I don't know about?
And from the people I know that race, they said the bike was like really windy. Oh. The swim wasn't like a complete disaster like it was the past like 2 years.
Yeah.
But still a little rough.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I know they're jellyfish.
I mean, it was ocean rough, not, you know, ridiculous rough. Yeah,
I did hear there were
last year there a lady got kicked in the face and her goggles were broken, and I just kind of, you know, they have those little floating platforms. I just kind of pushed her over to the platform and said, just don't let go, stay here. Kept going. They go for blood on the swim. It's crazy.
Yeah, I've been not to like take away from people's achievements, because obviously everyone went very fast, but you know, when it's like across the board fast, not just like a couple people, you're like, what was going on here? And it was, I mean, Sky broke course record by like 18 minutes. Like, that's not like little bit. Yeah.
Sometimes the wind changes. So it's a one loop. It's a one loop course, because that's where my PR for the Ironman is from that course. And I do remember it was a really good day where I was like, I feel like I'm getting a tailwind, like the first half of the bike. And then on the way back, I'm like, I still feel like I have a tailwind. Maybe the wind changed. So maybe they got a tailwind all the way around the course.
But also, Sky was in really good shape for Kona. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a few weeks later. As long as you recover, you can use that fitness.
Yeah. And it's a relatively flat course, isn't it?
Super flat.
2000, there's less than 2,000 feet of climbing the whole thing.
It was fascinating, though. I mean, okay, obviously Sky wasn't the, like, Rudy Von Berg also broke the record, course record there. But it was fascinating because there was a bunch of people who backed up Kona.
Right.
And I feel like it's such a mix, right? I feel like some people are able to back, like, they're like, they just, like you said, they take that fitness, they just recover, they're good. And like, I would not be one of those people. I would be like, do not talk to me about triathlon for 3 weeks.
I used to be one of those people that could back up.
Yeah.
Back when I trained. So that PR I had at Ironman Florida was 2 weeks after a PR I had at another Ironman. So, but I'm not that person anymore.
I can race myself into shape. I do that. I wouldn't do it through an Ironman though. Like halves and Olympics, I can kind of race myself into shape.
Okay.
18 minutes. That's crazy. That's a lot.
All right. You guys are going to keep talking. I'm going to find out what is happening outside my door right now. So I will be right back.
Ooh, I wonder what's happening too.
Does this have to do with the construction?
Yeah. You could kind of hear
what
them.
It sounds like.
I know.
Construction. I don't know. Did you guys hear my toddler crying?
Nope.
Oh, good.
I can't imagine her crying. Anytime I hear her voice, like on your videos and stuff, she sounds like, I don't know, like a mini 25, 30 year old. Like, let's do this.
But you remember toddlers. Like,
yeah.
They go from one extreme to the other very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
The twins were crazy because they were having their own conversations and it was really, and if I came over, they would look at me as if we're talking. Can you see we're talking?
Don't interrupt us.
That's adorable. Twin language.
Yes.
All right, I'm back.
Hi. So, what's happening?
What happened?
Our bathroom isn't done yet. That's what's happening. This is my, like, nobody, you know, like, people don't really want to hear about your renovations or whatever, but yeah, we moved into a house where we had no windows, the roof needed to be fixed, there was, like, a hole in the wall in one spot, it was, like, a mess, but we had needed to move in, and so now there's people coming all the time to do work.
Harry, feel free to cut whatever you want to.
Yeah, I was like, I have no idea if we're going to keep this part or not keep this part, so...
Anyway. I feel like I should have let my son flex like online so she could just put that.
We were talking about triathlon and course records and backing them up. And I think it's as much mental as physical.
Oh, absolutely.
The only times I've tried to back up an Ironman, like 4 weeks apart or whatever, I mentally was just like, I don't care about this. I can't do it.
Yeah, I think, especially if you have a good result.
Yeah.
And you're feeling motivated afterwards and you already picked that second race, like you can carry those good feels, like that mental part can really, really propel you for a second race. 100%.
What if you put all your eggs in that basket and you're like, I am done. I'm cashed out. What do you do then?
Wait, and you had a bad race?
No, I'm just saying, like, I feel like my problem is more like that, like you build up to a race. You know what I mean? Like, it's so much that then, like, I can't, like, rally it again.
Yeah. No, and that happens all the time. I mean, I'd circled Florida on the calendar. And even if I wanted to, like, my schedule permitted, I wasn't going to rally for Florida. There was, mentally, like, it's not that I put all my eggs in the basket, but there was definitely, like, afterwards that, like, I wasn't going to bump. Just mentally wasn't going to bump back in time.
So what's the closest you've ever done to races? I've done a 70.3 and a 140.6 one week apart. That's the closest.
A week apart. I found it a lot easier to go from the full to the half, like a week later, even though it was faster. I was like, I remember being like, oh, I'm almost done. This is amazing. I did and then I've done halves a week, like 6 days apart, and that's like doable, but that feels shitty. So.
Yeah, the run is brutal.
Yeah,
I've done the double Ironman 2 weeks apart three different times in my life. So the first time I did it was like the ones I was just talking about, where I like broke 10 hours for the first time and then lowered that 2 weeks later. That wasn't planned. That was before they had the Ironman Pro membership, where you now just pay your big fee and you're guaranteed entry into all of them. So before it was like, you had to know somebody or be good enough to get invited. And so I didn't know that I was going to get a slot into Ironman Florida until after I was already doing the first race. And then I was signed up for Cozumel, which was 3 weeks after Florida. So I actually did like three within 5 weeks, which by the time I got to Cozumel, I was like, done. So the first two went great. And then 3 weeks later, I was just like, this is the end of a very long year.
I would do the swim claim injury and be sitting on the side of the beach drinking something.
Oh, I definitely have had meltdowns in Mexico this time of year at races, for sure. why am I still racing and why isn't someone giving me a drink yet?
I'm just still trying to process the fact that getting into races was a political thing. That's so messed up.
Yeah, I was teammates with Bella Bayless, who had won Ironman Florida multiple times. And so she had to put in a good word to like Heather Fuhrer for me, because I was like a nobody new rookie pro and they like ignored my emails.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So anyway, as an age grouper, you could just sign up, but as a pro, you had to beg to get in.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, they wouldn't let just anybody in.
There are still some races that are invite only, for sure. I mean, not like obviously there are like the big ones, but I mean, there are still some like regular, like on the Ironman pro schedule, they'll have a little asterisk and it says like by invite or something. Not that many. You're like, no. Well, what are you going to do though after you retire from triathlon? That's my big question. Are you going to, I know this is like, you guys are like, well, I'm never going to retire from triathlon. I'm going to triathlon
forever. I did retire from triathlon. Now
you're coming back.
Freaking podcast friends are making me go do Ironman in France.
I feel like all the triathletes are, I mean, everyone is, but all the triathletes are trail running and gravel racing. I mean, obviously we were talking about Heather Jackson, who retired. And I was talking to her like right after Kona last year, right? And she was like, I'm done. But she's like winning trail races. I feel like that's not a real retirement. Yeah.
She's a beast.
That's like a fake retirement.
No, it's a different career. Like, it's a different sporting career. It's not retirement.
Yeah. And the races are different, totally different. Totally different vibe, because I the vibe of swim races for me is way better than I love triathlon. I love the whole process of triathlon, but swim races, I love the vibe. It's so much different.
They're more chill.
Are they? Are swim races chill? Oh, I you don't mean know, like yeah, open the water. I'm thinking like pool, yeah. Meets,
oh,
like, I'm like, those
like long distance swimming.
Okay. Yeah, long distance open water swim races. I don't get into the pool races, especially if you saw my flip turn. I even bumped into the wall.
I have this like, I like, and I feel like a lot of people harbor this. I like harbor the secret dream that somehow there's some sport I'm actually like really, really good at that I just don't know about yet. And that I'm going to become like a master's world champion once I discover it, you know?
Oh my gosh. So I have gone down this rabbit hole like multiple times of like, what other sports would I be really good at? And so in grad school, I took a little break from triathlon to go row for the Georgia Tech had a club rowing team. And it turned out I was like really, really good on the erg, because I had like super strong quads from cycling and triathlon. And so I was like beating the erg times of like the top varsity woman who had been doing it since she was like a kid. And I was like, oh, I wonder what the national team time standards are. So I was like really like seeing if I could get that. But then on the water, I didn't have like the technique,
right,
actually rowing the boat, which right. The coach said I could be taught. But then I got back into triathlon again. And then when I retired from being a pro triathlete, I had this stint where I was like, I'm going to learn to do Olympic race walking.
Oh, that would be classic.
And how did that go?
I did actually find a local coach that was like a former national team like race walker and like a coach, and he was like willing to coach me for free. So I did this, like I went to his house like once a week to learn how to race walk. And it was just like, it was okay, but it was like my heart wasn't in it, and it like It did kind of look stupid. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, race walkers.
Okay. They had race walking when I was in high school, and the girl who did it, she was really good at it, but everybody used to tease her. But she was, I mean, she was walking like 7 minute miles. It was
ridiculous. Yeah, they haul. Yeah.
It's fast.
Yeah.
You had race walking at your high school?
Yeah. I went to a huge high school though. I went to a big high school upstate New York.
I went to a big high school and we had like a TV station, but we didn't have race walking.
Yeah, we had race walking. We had a diving team, swim team. We had everything.
Yeah, it's an event in certain states, like for high school.
In Illinois.
I went to high school upstate New York and they had race walking, but this girl was, I can't remember her name, but she was really goofy, sweet, super smart. If you wanted to know anything in the calculus class, you go straight to her. But she, I mean, literally she was walking 7 minute miles.
Yeah.
So I feel like that didn't work out for you, Jocelyn.
It didn't work out, but I was like, the American teams in race walking aren't super strong. So I was like, this is my in to become an Olympian.
Well, this is like, I mean, you guys know the story about how like my husband decided to make the Irish cross country team skiing, because he had this like same, Jocelyn. He like had the engine and they were like, well, you can learn the technique. And then like Ireland doesn't have like winter sports. They don't have a huge number of skiers. And so, yeah, so he spent like a whole, I don't even know how long, whatever. He like went on sabbatical to get the points and he had the points and he like qualified. This ends by, he was not selected in like a whole, you know how Olympic selection goes. Even though there were three people and there were three spots and he had the points and there weren't other people, and then barristers got involved and there was like a whole, like it was in the national news in Ireland. It was a whole thing.
Why? Because he wasn't living in Ireland?
Because they sometimes team, like I bet, I don't know if you guys, I know Sarah knows this, but like sometimes teams will opt not to send people who aren't like medal contenders. And so they were like, oh, we're not going to send you. You're not good enough. But he was like, but I have the like qualifying standard. And they were like, eh. He's like, I'll pay for myself. It was crazy. So
but I did learn rowing is like, because of course, you know, I look into these things, like where could I be an Olympian? But rowing, I met someone that was like trying to make the rowing national team. And she said it was also very like, a lot of selection bias. Based.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. How you get picked for boats.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst in boats is that like a boat can qualify the team for a spot, but then those people might not get selected for the boat. One of the Canadians was telling me about
Wait, what? So you're going to take my boat, but you're not taking me? Oh no, I'm taking my boat back home.
I don't think that's how it works. Like, I think they still have a boat. All right, Sarah, I feel like, do you have a random question for us this week? Or have we had enough randomness? I don't know.
Oh, I do have a random question. Okay, so, and it's also kind of controversial.
Oh,
all right.
Ooh, our favorite.
I know. So I was being told about, during over dinner, there's a Salomon-sponsored athlete. She's a trail runner. And I guess there's some controversy about her because she has won some trail races with her dog.
So
tethered to her dog in non-dog races.
Interesting.
So
okay.
If you know anything about dog tethering, mm-hmm. I think it's also, what is it? It's called like
canine cross. Isn't it canine cross?
Like Cane cross or like something like that. Exactly. But it's a kind of a thing in Europe. Like they will have specific races where you tether the dog to you. As a point of reference, the world record for like the 1K with this dog thing is like 10 seconds faster than the human world record. And the guy who has it, this world record, is not like an elite athlete.
Do you think the dog's really like pulling them faster, or do you think it's like mental?
No,
no, No, they're pulling you
because you're a cat person, Kelly. You don't know.
I'm saying no. They're definitely pulling you, but like your legs still have to run. You see what I'm saying? Like the dog's not like running for you. So how is it like?
It's turnover without as much force. So just imagine like every time your legs are up in the ground, they're pulling you in the air.
It's like an alter G.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking about. One of those treadmill things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So my question is, imagine you're doing a race, maybe a local 5K or like, you know, your 100K that you're going to be doing, and you're getting to the finish line and you're going for like your win or your time or whatever. And the person you're running against has a dog tethered to them.
I'd be so annoyed.
Yes.
That's cheating.
I feel like the other thing is like, if it's in the rules, they should just be DQ'd, right? I just feel like that's straightforward. Like if it's not, like you can't just like.
But she's getting prize money.
Ooh.
Yes. Oh, I forgot to mention that part. Yeah. So there have been races where these are not like dog races, dog tethered races.
It's not canine cross.
Right. She's getting prize money. And the way that a lot of people are like, oh, it's so amazing that you're doing these races with your dog and winning. It's like, no, this is assisted. I feel like Jocelyn's on board with me with.
Oh my gosh. This is a better controversy than the controversy we brought up earlier. This is way better.
I don't understand why she wasn't DQ'd though. Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, shouldn't she just be DQ'd? Like, isn't that just straightforward?
You know, I am not a reliable source of information, Kelly.
So she builds us up with this story and then she says, I'm not reliable. Okay.
I'm like asking like very technical questions. I'm like, what kind of dog, Sarah?
Is it a Great Dane or is it a Chihuahua? We need to know.
It's like a brown thing. I don't know.
If I got like second or third to her, I would have launched a protest.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
But also, if you're looking over, say you're sprinting and somebody has a dog, I would just be shitting myself. Like, are you serious? I am sprinting against a person with a dog tethered to them. Yeah. I would be very unimpressed.
Yeah, but you know what, too? Nobody cares about the rules till they lose.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm serious. I've had it happen to me. Nobody cared about what I wore until I won a race. Mm. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about the rules. So if it's not defined as part of that race, then you know what?
I feel like this is straightforward, and she should just be DQ'd. Like I don't even understand what the controversy is.
So. Hold on. Yeah. I'm now picturing Kelly at your 100 miler. What if it was you that was tethered to your friend?
Right.
Is it cheating if you like were pulling her?
I'm still hung up on like, how do people not fall over? Like, how does this feel? Like, you still have to run. Like, if I got tied to the back of a car, that wouldn't be like helpful. Like, I would die. So, like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
It is faster. I have a speedy little dog who's like part, we think she's like part Whippet. And so, yeah, and we run with like the waist. I don't do it anymore because, yeah, we don't.
Have a friend, Tiancia. She does races that are specifically to be done with her dog. She has this dog named Pacer. She does this race every year with her dog.
I and love that. With other doggy people.
With other doggy people.
So
her only issue is sometimes the dog wants to stop and use the restroom.
Sure. I feel running. I'm hung up on like, I don't see how this is fast. I understand. I feel like there'd be a lot of issues. I feel like I just am still, but anyway.
No. So I remember hearing about this sport and I did look up to see if there was a local race.
Be the best in that sport too.
But there were no local races because we could have been champions.
We could have been champions. All right. And I feel like that's the end of that.
That's another segment for Jocelyn, obscure Olympian.
Oh.
We can find people who are just searching for obscure Olympic sports.
Before Sarah signs us off, I am going to say I want to do an AMA Ask Us Anything episode probably for Thanksgiving. So if you have questions, do, you can send them to us anyway. Email like your friends at feisty.com or on Instagram, or leave us a voicemail. We won't necessarily like use your voice, but I do want to get everyone's questions. So that's my reminder. I want to do an AMA episode. We'll answer people's random questions since that's our thing.
And I have no idea how to finish this episode other than please send us your controversies and please send us your questions. All right. Thanks for another week of If We Were Writing, and we'll check in with you with a new fresh controversy from Jocelyn next week. None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.